Hello and welcome to Jumpstart Weekly, the manga podcast where every week we read every chapter of Shonen Jump on Viz's website, as well as another collected volume of manga. I'm your host, Jeremy.
And I'm your host, Kevin.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah.
This is going to be the last episode of Jumpstart Weekly for the year. We will be back in 2025. We will probably be covering the last chapters of 2024 then, because I bet we're going to get a break, but who knows, because Viz hates telling us stuff.
Yeah, so we're just kind of preemptively taking the break, especially because holidays is just going to be a pain.
Yeah, it falls on a day that it would be very difficult to record this year.
Yep.
Before that, though, we have this last episode for the year, starting with Shonen Jump. What did you think of Shonen Jump this week, Kevin?
I thought it was pretty good. Nothing really amazed me this week, but I liked most everything.
I feel like I really felt the lack of Hunter x Hunter and One Piece this week.
Yeah.
But we will start out with something that I did enjoy quite a bit, which is Sakamoto Days, Days 194. Taxikia? That's what I'm going to go with for pronunciation.
Sure.
What did you think of Sakamoto Days this week, Kevin?
I actually liked it a lot. I kind of liked the explanation on Shin's powers working better and the whole thing with he kind of got the cool broke the rules ability of he's able to mind control himself as many times as he wants, because it's essentially like, well, it's a self-defense mechanism that like it only works the one time and then people's defenses are up. But since he's the one giving himself the orders, he can just do it however much he wants.
Yeah, I didn't hate that. I don't mind it as a power. I do kind of wish it wasn't explained longer, because I didn't really need a narrator to come in and tell me how it works. And I think it would have been more exciting if we didn't know.
Fair. That's fair. If he was just like, if he had just realized, I can use it on myself more than once, awesome. But I like the combat. I like the ending.
Yeah, the slow motion panel's really,
yeah,
really cool. And also, the ending makes sense. It seems like we're about to be done with this arc, which I guess makes sense. We got what we came here for. But it feels weird we never went to the third level of the prison when it was set up.
Yeah, a little bit. I do think that's funny. Maybe they'll still need to go down there something.
Maybe Sakamoto will be here because he needs something from down there. That's a possibility.
Or maybe the fortune teller needs to go back for something. Like, she left because that was the way that she lived. But now she's like, okay, now that the danger's over, can we, like, go back and get some of my shit?
Could be. Next up, we have Kagurabachi Chapter 61, Night Battle, which is a bit exposition-heavy, but I do like the stake setting for what is presumably going to be the next arc.
Yeah.
I am real dubious about the thing where Uraha might be alive, because I feel like they've said that enough that there's no reason to set it up so much if he's not.
Yeah.
And that makes his death weird.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I like the chapter.
Yeah, I think it's a, like you said, exposition heavy, but setting up for the next arc is pretty interesting. I kind of like the whole, they're in the Mexican standoff of, well, we could obviously go, like, we'd be the best people to go fight Mr. Samura right now. But that would be a horrible plan, because we need Mr. Samura to fight these guys. And these guys don't, like, these guys can't jump on Mr. Samura because they need him to kill the rest of them. So it's like we're just this weird stalemate of, like, everybody's pointing the guns at one another. Like, whoever shoots first, everybody dies.
Yeah, it's a good status quo. Like I said, I like the setup for what the next arc could be.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say on Kagurabachi, Kevin?
Nope.
Next up, we have Undead Unluck number 235, The Rules of Man, which is extremely shonen and parenthesis fine.
Yeah.
Not good, not bad.
Just... No, it was fine. I liked some of the stuff between this entire thing is basically been a bet between Luna and Sun.
Yeah, but we knew that.
Yeah.
And I didn't really get anything new out of this.
That's
exciting.
That's very fair.
It's very the end of a Persona game, but not as good as the end of a Persona game. And Kevin, fair. I played three of those. Is there anything else you want to say on it?
Nope.
Next up, we have Blue Box number 177, It's Been Essential, which is really, really good.
Yeah.
I feel like there is some false drama in the cliffhanger of her dad being stuck in traffic on the way there, but I really like the whole build-up to her final game of her asking her dad to come and him being, like, all right.
Yeah.
And her dad and Taki's relationship continuing to form in this weird way.
Yeah. I like even her going, like, it's... I don't think she specifically says it's weird watching him win over somebody else, but that's basically what she says. Of, it's like, man, it's weird watching him just win people over.
Yeah. and be like, your dad missed me. He's like, I made curry. There's some in the fridge.
Yeah, and the running thing where he was like running, and then he's like, you kind of missed running with Taiki.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Anything else you want to say on it?
Nope.
Next, we have Akanabanshi Story 139, Raise the Flag. Kevin, our long national flashback is over.
I know. It's so great.
It ended so weirdly. I was like, okay, we're just going to leave it there. Yeah. I guess I see. But now it's, they've set up for another flashback later for me to be like, no. And that's really the only note I have.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just this ended, and then we're going to go back into all of the Rakugoka.
Yeah, my Christmas gift is I get a Kanabanshi back.
Yes.
Last but not least, we have Mission Yozakura Family, Mission 255, Taiyo and Kyoichiro. I'm ready for Mission Yozakura Family to be over.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do after this arc. I was almost expecting the end on this. There's still time for Denouement. I wasn't like, oh no, because you could have 2-3 chapters still of wrap up and character conclusions.
Yep.
It would have felt a little bit abrupt, I think, if there was a the end on this.
Yeah.
But I'm ready for it also, which is too bad because it used to be that the little tiny stuff between was my favorite bit of Mission Yozakura.
Yeah, that's true. And we could get a fair bit of that as Denouement. Like, I'm not saying a Denouement chapter for every sibling, but we could really go into the siblings and then really go into some of the other relationships spreading around. Spreading around is not the right word.
There's definitely
floating around.
Yeah, there's definitely stuff, especially with all of the villain whose name I've already forgotten.
Yeah.
His minions that needs to be resolved. So again, yep. I wasn't like upset there wasn't, but I'm ready for this series to be done, which is not a great feeling to have.
No. But like you said, I don't see where it goes from here, and I think this is just all right, let's just head to the end and make it a good one. Because I liked the ride.
I wanted to get off at the end, but you always liked it more than me, yes. And I felt like that last arc especially was a little drudgery.
It was, but I'm hoping for a bunch of cute Denouement chapters to really, like, be the ending that I want. You know, kind of We Never Learn style, hey, let's go through all
that. I don't want that much.
No, but you know what I mean? Like,
We Never Learn's ending in hindsight was way too long, and I liked We Never Learn a lot.
Yes, I do not want an extra, like,
where
30...
Of an ending where he dates all of them, there's an ending where he has to solve each of their murder in different timelines. Anything else you want to say on Mission Yozakura Family, Kevin?
Nope.
That'll take us to Jump Card, then. Jump Card is a segment where we rank everything in Shonen Jump from our least favorite on up. Only at 19 this week, a little light. What do you have at number 19, Kevin?
That's right, I mean Roboco.
Same, and it almost seems not fair because the panel of Roboco as Godzilla I thought was genuinely funny.
It was pretty funny.
But all the rest of it sucked.
Yeah, just it's not great, so.
Yeah. What do you have at 18?
18 is where I put Shinobi Undercover.
I want to like this chapter of Shinobi Undercover. I don't, but because I want to, I put it higher.
Okay.
Because at least there's like the stuff, the conversations between characters, I think are better than Shinobi Undercover has been. It is a thing where, oh man, if I cared about these characters at all already, this would be great.
Yeah.
But I have Niue's at 18 because this is the most, he gets 2 senzu beans this chapter, Kevin.
Yeah.
He goes and he gets a senzu bean and then as a reward, he gets a senzu bean. It's such an awkwardly paced chapter.
Yes.
I get what they're going for, but it is all of the problems of Niue's and none of what's good about it.
Yes, it's my number 17. I would very much agree with you on that.
17's where I have Super Psychic Policeman Chojo.
Okay.
I can't put my finger on it. Like, all the jokes were almost funny, but not funny, which made me dissect them in that way that makes jokes bad.
Yeah, I get you.
Oh, what do you have at 16?
Super Psychic Policeman Chojo. Yeah, just didn't really find it funny.
16's where I have Kill Blue.
Okay.
I get why we're having this like big finale, but this whole, again, this arc with the student council, like the school festival arc already like ended on a kind of sour note for me. Mm-hmm. And then to have this extension, I didn't enjoy. The cliffhanger at the end is good, which is what has it above other stuff.
It pushed me up a little. It pushed it up a little bit for that cliffhanger at the end.
But like, this is not a great character introduction. This is not Trunks showing up and beating up Frieza in front of Frieza's dad.
No.
What do you have at 15?
15 is where I put Ultimate Exorcist. I don't think the ping pong thing actually being a secret way of learning how to train was handled well.
I don't either. It's just an idea, which is more than a bunch of stuff below it.
That's very true, but like, fact of, you know, read the room, you know, you didn't realize that this was actually a secret training tool? No, because you didn't explain shit. You just handed the guy a paddle and said, we're playing ping pong.
Well, that seemed like the comedy stuff of this manga. It seemed, I didn't laugh at it, but it seemed correct for this manga and this world.
I think just once would have been funny. It was when they kept doing it that it didn't land. Like, it almost would have been funny if they were literally pulling a prank on him where he goes to hit it and it doesn't do anything. He's like, all right, let me explain how these ping pong battles actually work. You know, haha, I got one over on you. That would have been fine. But then it was every time he tried to do something. No, you used too little that time. No, you used too much that time. No, you didn't do this right this time. Explain how the thing works, man. Don't just sit there and laugh at the guy for not getting it.
Fair. 15 is where I have Astro Royale.
Okay.
It just felt way too fast. They're like, oh, there's this new guy and he needs help. And then there's this other new guy, but it's not actually that new guy. It's a different guy pretending to be that new guy. But now that new guy is here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's my number 14. They go to see the immortal and they're like, you're not him. How would you know? I know him personally. Like, we're bros. Literal Yakuza bros. What do you mean? I don't.
Not by blood, but we were adopted by the same dad.
Yeah, it's like we're literal brothers. Of course I know who he is.
At 14, I have Shinobi Undercover. I want to like it. I don't.
Okay.
What do you have at 13, Kevin?
13 is where I put Kill Blue. Like I said, the cliffhanger at the end kind of made me go like, okay, this is interesting.
It's where I have Ultimate Exorcist. Okay. Again, the ping pong is an idea, so.
Yeah, that's fair.
What do you have at number 12?
12 is where I have Witch Watch.
Same. Like, there's some okay stuff in there.
There's some okay stuff. The fact that they're fighting Joan of Arc.
Yeah, that's a cool
should
idea.
Should be really cool. Should be much cooler.
I don't know why Joan of Arc is John of Arc. I'm trying to give Joan of Arc her Joan of Arc now. I don't know why my mouth will only make those noises though. I don't know why she is Nightmare from Soul Calibur.
Yeah, we've seen her in other media being cool still.
Yeah,
so
no,
like
I
also
with a sword is fine. Not a problem. It's the visual specifics.
Yeah, and maybe that's what just didn't do it for me, because I was like, this should be a really cool reveal that they're fighting Joan of Arc.
There's also the problem of it being a flashback, and this being a different manga than Witch Watch is. This is more shonen than Witch Watch has been at his most shonen, and Witch Watch has flirted with being very shonen at times, but it is never committed like this. What do you have at 11?
11 is where I put Hakutaku.
Same.
I'm still interested into what's gonna go on here, but nothing really happened in this chapter.
Agree. We got a bunch of character introductions, and I don't care about any of them.
Yep. I might later.
What do you have at number 10?
10 is where I put Undead on Unluck. A bunch of stuff sure happened. Shonen.
It's where
the power of love.
It's where I have a Kanabatashi.
Okay.
Because while I'm grateful to be free of this flashback, I feel like nothing happened in this chapter.
Yeah, that's fair. It's my number 9. I would absolutely agree with that.
9's where I have Mission Yosakura Family, which I very much expounded on how I'm done with this now.
Mm-hmm.
You can take it away, waiter. No, I don't need a box. What do you have at 8?
8 is where I put Mission Yosakura. I guess I just like it just a little bit more.
8 is where I have Ichi the Witch.
Okay.
There was some weird skipping of stuff in this chapter that I found very awkward. Not like, oh, whoa, what happened? Mm-hmm. Not like, oh, I don't know what's going on. But more of like, okay, why didn't we see that instead of being told about? How, like, Togeki went and got the mushroom and
fair.
All that. And then there's a lot of, oh, this is a huge threat. This is the biggest problem ever. And I'm always wary when shonen manga does that this early.
Yeah.
You run into power scaling problems later a lot of the time. And I have the feeling this character is going to survive this encounter and be a overarching threat. So,
yeah.
Not like a huge problem, but they lay it on real thick. And I've seen this 1,000 times before, and it wasn't super elegant.
Yeah, it could be because all the magics have different hunt requirements, so his might turn into the driving force of what the rest of the manga is, at least for the next long little bit.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, you need to collect the 7 Dragon Balls. Like, you could have somebody show up, you know, you're not going to have Shenron show up, but you could have Shenron show up, be like, you need to collect the 7 Dragon Balls, and then fuck off. And then the whole thing is going to do that.
Yeah, watching the Dandadan anime after we read the manga, a thing I realized I really, really appreciate about Dandadan is the lack of anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that, like, there's no organization telling these kids what to do, and, like, they have a goal, but there isn't, like, a big overarching thing. I actually really appreciate that. Like, they have a thing that they want to do, but there's not, like, a existential threat or a...
Yeah, and it's one of the things I struggled with, because, like, I do want... There needs to be some kind of drive. There doesn't necessarily need to be some existential threat, but it's one of the problems I especially had with later Bleach.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bleach is the other side of the coin, right? Where Bleach is just, what do I feel like drawing today? That's what happens.
Yeah. You know, and I always compare it to, like, Naruto and One Piece. It's like Naruto wanted to be Hokage. Luffy wants to be King of the Pirates. So there's this drive to, I want to go do this thing. And at least in Dandadan, they have the whole thing of, you know, I need my testicles back. As weird as that is to have that be your goal, that's a goal. So we've at least got some kind of goal moving forward. But
yeah, but I am fine with subcodes, too, of Ichi needs to hunt this thing. I am a big fan of 70s and 80s Marvel comics, where you have A plot, B plot, C plot, with the B plot becomes the A plot, and the C plot becomes the B plot. So there's always something around the corner to be looking forward to.
Yeah, and
even
that's
though
good
you're
as well.
Eternally stuck in Act 2, because it's a superhero thing and nothing can advance.
Yes, but so I guess I do...
I've found I'm very tired, especially of the, like, oh, this organization is going to come in and they're going to tell you all this, you have special powers, and they're going to give you all the support you need. I'm especially tired of that which Ichi Witch already has. And then this is just like, oh, this thing we haven't talked about. And to be fair, it hasn't come up. There's no reason to have told Ichi about this magic before. But it is like, oh, no, it's the worst thing ever. Let's spend, like, 2 pages of this manga telling you why this is bad.
Yeah, that
is a little heavy-handed.
That is fair. That's very fair.
What do you have at number 7?
7 is where I put Kagurabachi. It's just kind of transitioned into the next chapter. It's still good. Next arc. So I'm interested. We'll see, you know, Ninja Chihiro could be fun.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the training and stuff. I really like the daughter character as a potential MacGuffin that could then be a character.
Yep.
I haven't done luck at 7.
Gotcha.
What do you have at number 6?
That's where I put Ichi the Witch. I like this new direction, and I kind of like the, he's got the king magic, and the guy's like, we need to run, and Ichi's like, no, fuck that, I'm gonna hunt you.
Yeah.
Goku vibes.
Yeah, I do like Ichi as a character.
Mm-hmm.
I have Cid Kraft at number 6. I think there's, like, a big gap between Undead Unlock and Cid Kraft for me.
Fair.
I really like this little story.
Yeah,
I don't know how long they can keep the Emilio pretending to be a boy thing, and... me take it seriously. This is not a manga with a super serious vibe.
Fair.
Or I would already not be able to take it seriously.
I think if they add a couple more women,
I don't know how many you need with the Phantom Thief. I feel like one more could be fine, but more than that,
yeah, well, and maybe just one more, but you can kind of have this, like, you can kind of stretch out the Emilio is a boy thing by essentially kind of what they've been doing, where, all right, we have this chapter, but then we do, like, an arc with the Phantom Thief, and then we do an arc with the Inspector, and then... Actually, they do... The next arc will be the new girl.
I've been saying this for, like, all of Cid Kraft's runtime, but I am ready for an arc.
Yes, that is true.
Though I did really enjoy this little one-off. What do you have at number 5?
That's where I put Himaten.
Same. It's cute. It's fun. There's not much more to it.
Mm-hmm.
The Himaten story.
Yep.
What do you have at number 4?
4 is where I put Cid Kraft. I did really like it. I thought it was very cute. I liked the, you know, the obliviousness of it and the absurdity of the detective not knowing that the sexy lady is pretending to be a boy.
Yeah, there's some fun stuff in there. It's very much him being anime obstinate, but
yes.
There is good contrast in there. I liked it too. Force where I have Sakamoto days.
Mm-hmm.
Really like that slow motion panel. Like, we didn't even talk about the archer using his tooth as a weapon.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Cool. I think it's only number 4 because the ending wasn't super exciting to me. It seems limiting rather than expanding of the story, but
fair.
Still really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like it that Shin has decided to, I'm going to murder and I can't be part of Sakamoto's team anymore, or Sakamoto's family anymore. Then Sakamoto shows up to be like, hey, what you doing?
I think that is too quick a confrontation, is probably what my problem with it is. Even though ultimately it has to come to this.
But I'm wondering how much of a confrontation it's going to be if he's just going to be like, hey, you can just not.
Yeah, exactly. But that it's, I think there's more drama in him having done it.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you have at number three?
Three is where I put the Elusive Samurai. I thought it was very good this week. I liked a lot of the interplay between him and the general and the him calling him dad, essentially.
I like that his protest is not like, oh, no, I don't have that relationship with you. It's like they all say anytime you call someone family, they immediately die. And we get all the flashbacks
to everything
when that has happened.
Well, I like that because it's a rumor, because it's that's not actually true. Like, he called the priest guy father way earlier than before he died, but it is very funny that it's on the battlefield. Anytime you've called somebody a part of your family, they've died. So absolutely not. What are you trying to do? Curse me?
I have Kagurabachi at number three.
Gotcha.
What do you have at number two?
Two is where I put Sakamoto Days. I thought all the fight stuff was just really good.
Two is where I have Blue Box.
Gotcha.
Really enjoyed Blue Box. I talked about the cliffhanger being a bit lame, but I really enjoyed it throughout.
Mm-hmm. And Blue Box is my number one. I thought it was just really good, and I liked, you know, this whole we're going into her final game, which is not necessarily her final. It's her final game in high school.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's potentially her final game in high school.
Well, it is the final game she will play against her rival, is the way it is framed.
Yes.
And
well,
it's the finals of this tournament to advance.
That's what I mean. So if she loses, then she, obviously, that's her final game in high school. So that's why I was thinking it's potentially her final game, because if she wins, she goes on to nationals.
I have Elusive Samurai at number one.
Okay.
You hit on most of the stuff that's really good about
yeah.
it. But also, I think the cliffhanger is really strong of us going back to the battle, even though that's not the meat of it. That's not why it's number one.
Yep.
That's a nice cherry on top. And I do love him getting so drunk. He's just like, yay, let's play hide and seek, Dad. Trying to murder me with a sword. That's my favorite game.
Yeah, it was really good.
Anything else you want to say about Shonen Jump, Kevin?
Nope.
All right, we read Yona of the Dawn, Volume 3, and we will be back to talk about that after the break. So we read Volume 3 of Yona of the Dawn because I kept mentioning it.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I wanted to, just because I kept mentioning it.
Yep.
I didn't mind this volume. It's one of those things where it's like, oh man, it sure has been a long ass time since we read Volume 2 of Yona of the Dawn.
Two whole years.
A lot of this, but not specifically where we are.
I'm a lot better off because I think it was only last year that I watched the anime, which covers past this.
Yeah.
It does not go, I think it only got one season, if I remember correctly. So it doesn't go, it goes a fair bit past this, but it's not a whole lot past it. It was one of the things, if I got to the end, I was like, oh, that's it? That kind of sucks. I was actually like really getting into this.
In Yona of the Dawn's favor, I do remember the broad strokes of what had happened, but mm-hmm. I don't remember them being found by this priest. I remember Hawk getting hurt, but...
Yeah, it was, he got hurt and they like fell into a valley.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then the priest is who found them.
I don't remember them being found, but I will take your word for it. Obviously, it happened because yes. That's where we are in the story. The stuff between Hawk and Yona is cute still.
Yeah.
There's a little lack of advancement, but I also like Yona being like, oh, yeah, I want to use a weapon. And I like Hawk's reluctance to teach her and all the points of like, hey, are you ready to take a life, because that's what your problem actually is.
Yes,
your father made me promise never to let you have a weapon, so consider that also.
Yeah, I also like the teach me how to use a sword. No, all right,
you're an archer now.
We'll teach you how to use a bow, but sword again, no.
The four dragons is the sort of thing we were talking about earlier, which is a goal that you like.
And yes,
it is a reason for them to go all across this world, which I like as well.
Mm-hmm.
I do find it to be a bit cliche.
Yeah.
And be like, oh my god, she's so pretty and I have to worship her and do what she says, which is treated as more mythical than I am, and less anime nosebleedy than I am describing. Yes, it
it's
as.
definitely way more mystical.
But it definitely has that fantasy, right? Of there are four boys out there who will do anything for me. And that is not as critical as I am making it out to be. I don't think that is a bad fantasy to show in a manga, especially a manga aimed at women. But it's kind of a lot in this volume.
Yeah.
I feel like we don't really find out anything about Gija the White Dragon except for, oh my god, I gotta serve her.
Yeah, that's basically how the volume ends. The next little bit will be us learning more about him.
That's fair, but there's just a lot of him because we find out how he was raised and how he's been secluded like this and like his how this is his purpose and he wants a purpose and there's like some meat on that. But like I said, I don't know anything about him except for he doesn't like Hawk because he is a boy that Yoda likes.
Yes.
And he has a dragon arm.
He has a dragon arm.
He's the opposite of Trogdor.
Yes. He's a man with a dragon arm instead of a dragon with a man arm.
Yeah.
That's very good.
He's the anti-Trogdor. That's what I know about him.
He's got Trogdor's arm.
Oh, Trogdor has his arm? His arm.
We figured it out, ladies and gents. I like the little bit about the isolationism that he's under and the whole... My whole clan for thousands of years has been protecting this line, this bloodline. And all of us know that there will be a purpose, but imagine the hundreds of white dragons that have died spending the whole time going like, never showed up.
Yeah, it's fine as a premise. What I want is the traditional shonen manga arc where they get here and he is tsundere at them. And it's like, oh, I'm not going to help you. And something happens that causes them to grow together and him to realize that he needs to serve her.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of ruins the fantasy, like I said, of the, oh my god, she's so pretty, I gotta do everything she says. She has red hair, like that one red dragon did. And she's like, I'm definitely not descended from him unless I am.
There's no way that, because I'm from the Wind Tribe, it couldn't be possible.
Intermarriage and such, and escalation? What's the word I want? Succession? That's not the word I want, but that's the right word.
Yeah, sorry, I'm drawing a blank.
So yeah, I liked it. I'm being very critical of it. So I want to be clear, I did enjoy this. I think this might be my least favorite volume just where it's placed, because I imagine future dragons are going to be more story involved with getting them.
Yes.
Which is what I wanted from this one. And I get the first one being easy, but like I said, it was kind of too easy. I want more story. I want more time for this character to develop. I want to care about him at all before he joins the party. And we didn't even talk about the priest's like kid that he has.
Yeah.
But even with him, we get more of that, right?
Yeah.
It's not like a full story. They don't get into any deadly danger. But we find out what his opinions are on the world and what his backstory is and why the priest wants him to go with her. And there's conflict there because he doesn't really want to leave, but he does respect the priest enough to go with her. And he has a tsundere, like I said, opinion towards the princess.
Yeah. Well, he wants to leave, but he doesn't want to... He wants to go travel the world, but he doesn't want to leave the priest.
Yeah.
So it's like, it'd be better if, well, why can't you just come with me? Like, that would be the best of both worlds in his eyes. He's like, I do want to travel. I do want to see new things. But I also don't want to leave you. But at the same time, if you tell me to, I will.
Yeah. That's a lot stronger, I think, than the White Dragon, who's built up to be a more important character.
Yes.
But like I said, all he has is a Zoro-Sanji relationship with Hawk that grew out of nowhere, basically.
Basically. More stuff will happen later, obviously, but yeah, I would agree with you. The White Dragon pickup is very fast. Even in the anime, it's like, we made it to the village. 5 minutes later, welcome to the party.
Yeah, which, like, I get it why it makes sense. I get the fantasy they're going for, and I'm not trying to critique that, but also, like I have said, makes me not care about this guy at all.
Yeah, that's true. There's a bit more with, I think it's one of the other dragons who, because we know that there's this mystical compulsion to follow her, that he resists more, which... Yeah,
that's way more interesting to me.
It's way more interesting, and it also kind of helps set up the fact that you know how ridiculous this compulsion is. It's like, oh, this character just immediately fell to it, and then this character is fighting against it. Oh, okay, we actually know, it's not just, he's fighting the compulsion in his blood, we actually know a bit more about it, sort of advocating it.
Yeah, and we can get to that when we get to it. But yeah. Like I said, I just wish there was more to this Dragon Village in the mountains here. I wish there was a story there.
Yeah.
Instead of it just being, oh, hi, you're in our party now. Please don't kill my other party member. Anything else you want to say about Yona of the Dawn, Kevin?
There was one of the author comment side panels that I really laughed at, which was the explanation of the Thunder Beast. And the author being like, I thought the Thunder Beast was like a tiger made of lightning, and it turns out it's like a weasel, and I'm sorry about that. So just imagine a Thunder Beast in this world means a tiger.
Well, to be fair, there's lots of visuals for it, so I can see that.
Well, and that's almost why there's that one scene where it's the dragon, yeah, and yeah, the he literally drew him like that, going like, yeah, this was the image I had in my head, and then I did some research and found out that the image in my head was wrong. Please ignore reality and allow me to substitute my own.
I'm just getting to the part in comics where X-Men gets good, and the X-Men have just gone to the Shi'ar Empire for the first time, and Wolverine is jumping at people, beating them up. And I'm like, man, I want these aliens to get to Earth and see what an actual Wolverine is and be very disappointed. Because in their head, they just think they literally only have Wolverine the character, like most people on our Earth.
Yes.
But it's like, there's no way they could have seen a weasel because they're a Wolverine because they're aliens. And that would yes. be extremely funny. I'm like, where are the claws?
Where are the claws? Why is
it so short? Anything else you want to say about Yona of the Dawn, Kevin?
Nope.
All right. Again, we will be taking next week off. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. And we will be back in 2025 with Haikyuu Volume 44?
44.
We're almost done with Haikyuu. We didn't quite finish it this year. Until then, our opening theme is Fighting Against One's Will by Midair Machine. Our closing theme is A Psychic Fistfight by Tom W. Emmerich. Other music on the show is by Spectacular Sound Productions, and our album art is by Kate Wind on DeviantArt. www.lastpodcast.com is our website, where you can check out our ancient episodes on the first two volumes of Yona of the Dawn, as well as my other podcasts, It's a Gundam and Last Time on Video Games. Is there anything you'd like to plug, Kevin?
Nope.
Thank you very much for listening throughout the year, and we will see you in 2025.
Insinuation. It's gotta stop.